Proverbs chapter 9, beginning in verse 7. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you will bear it alone. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. There are those who are in places of authority that God has commanded to be an avenger and a rewarder for him. We learn this from both Romans and 1 Peter. And they must, therefore, reward and avenge both with action and with words. But we are often not in that position or connection to someone. And we have some instruction here about whether or not we should correct or rebuke them. There are many who do not share our worldview. They have not even had the beginning of wisdom, which is the fear of the Lord. And perhaps we can reason with them and appeal to the light of nature and even in many cases their own self-interest. But the idea of correcting them and rebuking them so that there might be a measure of real improvement, sanctification, you know, what we would call sanctification, it just doesn't pan out. Because if you correct the scoffer, verse 7, you get shame for yourself. And if you rebuke a wicked man, he might not just despise you, he might even, according to verse 7, harm you. And so verse 8 begins, do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. And the first thing we must do when we hear this is to make sure that we are not responding like the scoffer or the wicked. Because as I'm sure you have experienced yourself as well, there is that remaining fleshliness, that remaining sin in us, even after one comes to faith in Jesus Christ, that immediately recoils, resists, despises, gets angry at, irritated, hostile towards being corrected or rebuked. But as we're about to see, the way that a wise man or a just man responds is different than the way the scoffer or the wicked man responds. So one of the things to see in our own hearts is how much we still respond like the scoffer or the wicked who does not have the fear of the Lord, and to foster instead in dependence upon God, crying out to him, and also by use of his means, a response to being corrected or rebuked that is like the wise man who fears the Lord and the just man. So feed our new nature and reinforce our new nature in Christ and kill the old man by the help of the Spirit, rejoicing that the Spirit lusts against the flesh. And so we have an almighty partner in this battle. And this is, I think, one of the hardest parts of the battle with sin. Being able to be thankful for and learn from and even love the person who gives you correction. To love someone for it, to consider it as a blessing, oil on the head, or affection, a kiss from the lips, as other scriptures say. So the first thing is to make sure that we are not acting like the scoffer or the wicked man. The other thing is to identify those who are. Sometimes this doesn't happen until you've tried to give the correction or rebuke, and the response you get falls into verse 7 to 8a, not from verse 8b to 9. And when you get that response, you just note that and tuck away the note in your heart and your mind. It may be that this is a believer who is struggling maybe not so well with the same thing that we all fight against and how we receive correction. And so you might decide, well, I need to be wiser about how to confront them or suggest things or observe things to them from God's word and from their actions. And it might be after a few times trying a few different ways, you conclude that you are not the one to do it. But you might even, and this is difficult because you're supposed to give the judgment of charity to someone who's a member in good standing. And this is why at some point you would need to pursue Matthew 18 with someone, depending on whether it's something that's fractured the relationship, like Matthew 18 talks about, or even just something that is a sin that has entrapped your brother, like Galatians 6 verse 1 talks about. But if someone is an unbeliever, it's much clearer. After one or two attempts, you can conclude we just don't share the same worldview. You should not be a scoffer at all. Correcting and rebuking may not be what you need to do with them, but rather warn of danger and offer grace, especially offer Jesus Christ as the one whom hell deserving sinners must have, and who has given himself out of love for hell deserving sinners, because we want to see them become one of these who fears the Lord. That's the beginning of wisdom, and they won't really be able to desire to honor God and love neighbor from the heart until they are one who fears the Lord. And so that's how to think about and interact with the scoffer. How about the wise man or the just man? And that's in verse 8b through the end of verse 9. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. And so there's not a big secret who is the wise man, because we read in verse 10, the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. That's not the first time that we have read that in this book. And so, rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. It's not for us to assume the motives of others, but if this is what we read about the wise man, then the first thing to do is, hey, I want to be that wise man. I want to love those who rebuke me for the sake of their rebuking. Now, if we're doing our best to benefit from someone's rebukes, they get to be very much in the habit of giving them, and we get to be in the habit of receiving them, and when we receive one, we consider whatever portion of Scripture teaches, whatever it is that they are claiming to rebuke us upon, and we compare it to what we are thinking and saying and doing. But if over the course of time you find that you are unable to benefit from it because there isn't a significant disconnect between how you are acting and what the Scripture says, then out of love, you may say to them, you keep rebuking me for these things, and I thank you for it, but I'm unable to put into practice what you were telling me to do or correcting me for, and here's why. And you explain to them from the Scripture and the steps you have taken or whatever. You may end up, what I'm saying is, having to rebuke someone for giving you a rebuke. And at that point, you may discover that you're back in verse 7 and the first half of verse 8. Because the person who was rebuking you, whom you were loving and trying to benefit from their rebukes, does not necessarily mean they are wise. You know, Balaam's donkey prophesied. Saul, King Saul, prophesied. There are many whose words may be malintended or unwisely, not produced from wisdom or understanding on their part, and yet we may get some benefit from it. So this isn't saying necessarily that all rebukes are right, although they all do us good by coming in the providence of God, and we can trust Him about that. But responding well to God, fearing the Lord, and knowing that He is working even through those who rebuke us poorly, enables us to have affection and appreciation for the person who is rebuking us, even if we may have to come to a place where we have to rebuke them for the rebuke. So am I the wise man who has affection for someone on account of their rebuking me? Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Wise person always takes the opportunity to learn what he can. Teach a just man, someone who has abandoned the idea of his own righteousness and has hoped in Christ alone for righteousness. And if we have that humility that comes with saving faith, of not trusting in ourselves or having high opinion of ourselves, but trusting only in Christ and having an infinitely high opinion of Him, then we will be this wise, verse 9a, or just, slash righteous, verse 9b, man who gains wisdom and learning from being instructed or taught or rebuked. The other thing is to recognize those with whom we can have this mutual relationship with, right? Because if we find someone else who loves you for rebuking or teaching or telling them what you have learned from the Bible recently, and they learn that you will love them and appreciate them and learn from them as they might instruct you or rebuke you or teach you, maybe tell you what they understood from the sermon that was new and surprising and helpful to them, then we will be those who sharpen one another's faces, as the other proverb says, and we will have this mutual love and mutual increase, and the Lord will use us to strengthen and grow one another. And what a blessing that is. But it must start from knowing the Lord and trusting in Him and knowing that He is going to do us everlasting good. For when He says, "For by me your days will be multiplied and years of life will be added to you." And you say, "Well, there are righteous ones and wise ones who die young. Why is that?" Well, have years of life ceased to be added to them? Were they destroyed in their death? Or were they rather instead translated to glory? And so there is this importance in interacting with one another that verses 7 through 9 describe, but the much higher importance is that we interact with the Lord. That's what is the foundation, as we've been saying, of learning to have good relationships with one another that build one another up in the Lord. But ultimately, the primary relationship is the relationship that you have with God Himself, that you fear Him, live in wonder at Him, and as worship unto Him, the fear of the Lord, living in wonder at Him and as worship unto Him. That you know Him and that you look to Him for all of your blessing. And indeed, if you do so, it will be everlasting blessing. And this is something that you are the only one who can do for you. I can't trust in the Lord for you. I can teach you lots of things about Him, but I can't know Him for you. You have to trust in Him for yourself. You have to know Him yourself. You are the only one who can be certain that He is yours and you are His and that all of your good comes from Him. And that's where verse 12 takes us. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you have the fear of the Lord, that is the beginning of wisdom, and you're going to end up blessed forever by faith in Jesus Christ. That is between you and God, and no one else can be part of that transaction between you and God. And if you scoff, you will bear it alone. Each one of us are responsible for the hell that we deserve. and that we will receive if we do not trust in Christ, if we do not belong to the Lord by faith. And so let us learn from these verses to interact rightly with one another, but most of all, to interact rightly with the Lord through faith in Jesus Christ, to trust Him, live in wonder at Him, live as worship of Him, and to know that He is the one who gives us everlasting and unlimited blessing. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for this portion of Your word. Surely figuring out how to interact with other sinners as those who are ourselves sinners is a big part of our life. And so we pray that You would help us to trust in You and desire to honor You so that we might receive and respond to correction or rebuke or instruction well. We pray that You would give us wisdom and grace for understanding what is going on if we try to love someone else in this way and to interpret their response and get better at how we do it, but ultimately to know what category in these verses we are finding ourselves in. Lord, I pray for my children that they would grow in skill in applying what we have heard here. But most of all, grant to us to know You, to be able to receive correction from You, even on the lips of someone who is hateful, that we would know Your love for us who are never hateful to us, and that we would know it most of all in Christ, whom You gave in that love, to be our righteousness, to be our sacrifice, to be the guarantee of our everlasting blessedness. Make us to walk with You by faith in Him, by the help of Your Spirit, that we would live our lives in the fear of the Lord, wondering at You, adoring You, and offering everything we do as service and sacrifice unto You. We ask it all in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.